As we continue in worship, we have an opportunity to read upon the scriptures, to hear a word from God. Before we do so, let us pray. God, we love you and we thank you for this time together. We thank you for our community of faith in which we join together this morning to hear your word, to worship together, to encourage one another, and to be in community as a Christian follower of you. Lord, so I ask that you speak through me and in spite of me this day, that your word might be proclaimed and we might hear what you have to say to us today. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. So we're continuing in the fourth chapter of Philippians today. Last week, read from verse 4 through 9. Today we're reading from verse 10 through 20. So Philippians 4, 10 through 20. There it is. That's not it. Nope. So just disregard. That was last week's. Let's see. Okay. Well, that's a cool graphic. All right. Well, here are these words. You can just listen to them. If you have you can grab the Bible in front of you or on your phone if you want to follow along. It says, I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last you have received your concern for me. Indeed, you are concerned for me, but had no opportunity to show it. Not that I am referring to being in need, for I have learned to be content with whatever I have. I know what it is to have little, and I know what it is to have plenty. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being well-fed and of going hungry, of having plenty and of being in need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. In any case, it was kind of you to share in my distress. You Philippians indeed know that in the early days of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you alone. Or even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs more than once. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the profit that accumulates to your account. I have been paid in full and have more than enough. I am fully satisfied now that I have received from this really long word of a name, if you want to check it out. It's like Epaphroditus. Anyway, there you go. The gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will fully satisfy every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen, Paul says. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. So this week we're in the second half of the two-week series before Advent, which begins next Sunday. We'll be starting a new series throughout the Advent season. So this week we're in the second half of the book, A Walk with in the Wood, Meditations and Mindfulness with a Bear Named Pooh. This is the book. You can have it yourself if you would like. I can give you this copy. So when I was in seminary, I lived in a condo in West Campus of the university area. It's kind of behind Guadalupe Street. A lot of frat houses are back there, and it's really transitioned quite a bit over the last 10 years. I lived in a six-story condo unit. It was one of the tallest at its time. Now, as I was walking to the game yesterday through West Campus, six stories is nothing anymore. But anyway, we were one of the first condos in that area, and beside us was an abandoned building that was just waiting for a developer to buy it up and to build its own condo there. And so we were there, and that's where I lived for a few years of my seminary. Well, one night about 3 a.m. In the morning, we heard someone banging on our door saying, fire, fire, get out, they yelled. So I opened my eyes, wondering if I was having a dream, or if this was a prank, or if this was real. If it was real, I thought to myself, well, what am I going to do If this is not a dream or a prank, and so I put on a shirt and sandals, and then I thought, like, what am I going to grab? Can't go out empty-handed. So I grabbed my wallet and my keys and my backpack, and then I grabbed my computer, had all my school documents, and then I grabbed a few seminary books. I don't remember which ones. I think it was probably John Wesley's sermons and things like that. Once we got down the 6 flights of stairs, we were on the top floor. We learned that it was the abandoned building next to us that had caught fire. One of unhoused folks was staying in that abandoned building, and it caught on fire. And so we head out our unit, ran across the street, and watched the firefighters put out the fire. So what would you do if you were in the same situation as me? Woke up in the middle of the night, get out as quick as you can. Alarms are going off. You had minutes to figure things out. What would you grab? What would you take with you on your way out? It's often in those moments of fire and flood that we understand what is most important in life. I can't say my computer was the most important thing, even my keys in my wallet. But we learn that everything in this world is temporary. It's all a gift from God for us to use for a period of time. And although the world tells us differently, Jesus desires for us to realize that our worth is not based on anything that we accumulate in this world, but on our relationship with Christ. The right products can sometimes make our life easier, nicer, more comfortable for a period of time, but there's no perfect house or car or possession that will fulfill our heart's desire. It's not going to happen, at least not for any long period of time. The only thing that will complete us and fulfill us is our life of following Christ and living into who Jesus created us to be. In the book Pooh Bear here, you see, Pooh tried to have a positive outlook on things on a daily basis. He tried to encourage others to live in that same attitude and mindfulness. No matter what Pooh was doing or what he had, he continued to be kind to himself and to others. He tried to maintain an attitude of being curious rather than afraid, asking questions, being in relationship with people. Immediately after I read this chapter of being curious rather than afraid, my mind went to this clip of Ted Lasso, the show Ted Lasso, in which Ted Lasso was playing darts with someone, and he challenged him, and you know, Ted says, "Be curious, not judgmental." Another be curious type thing. So be curious rather than afraid. Be curious and not judgmental. You see, in the book it says that when we conquer our fears, we have a greater capacity to extend kindness to others and encourage them to be more fearless as well. It's hard for us to encourage others to be fearless when we are carrying our own fears. Maya Angelou said, "People won't remember what you did, and people won't remember what you said, but people will remember how you made them feel." Pooh continued to encourage his friends each and every day, and Pooh often just went with the flow of things. He called it aimless wandering. He didn't seem to push his own agenda and conversations, but he allowed and had a listening ear towards others. He encouraged people to believe in themselves. In one of the chapters of the book, Pooh came across Eeyore. Well, he didn't just come across him. He took this weird path, but he intended to go see Eeyore to encourage him. Eeyore was very pessimistic. Eeyore was always down on himself. He always thought that the worst thing was going to happen, or things would always turn out for the worst. And so Pooh said, if you are always thinking in the wrong, what if you're wrong about that? Pooh started to lift Eeyore's spirit by seeing the good that was in Eeyore. Author Mark Twain said, "My life has been a series of terrible misfortunes, most of which never happened." Further, it's said that if you're so used to feeling bad and wrong and down on yourself, you might forget how to feel good. And that's a challenge to overcome negativity. We have to change our perspective. We have to change our habits. And sometimes that takes a lot of time. It's not a quick fix. You know, that same kind of discontentment can sometimes happen in our lives, in our jobs, in our marriages, and with our friends, and even in churches. I've heard people say, "Well, you know, this church is not meeting my needs anymore. I'm going to go find somewhere else to worship." Instead of seeing with new eyes and new hearts all that is good, even within a community that makes mistakes from time to time, over and over again. You see, because there's no perfect church, no perfect people. We all continue to strive to be more Christ-like, but we make mistakes. We have an illusion that things are going to be perfect somewhere else or with something else. But then we sometimes become disappointed when something doesn't turn out the way that we thought it would or should. And we become discontent again, and sometimes we go make another purchase or another relationship thinking it's going to work itself out, and then it doesn't. You see, the thing that we are created and desired to do and be is to be in relationship with God, created to find security in that. We're created to love people and care for them, those in need, as we provide meals for the hungry, for those who may need a little support this season. Be generous. You see, we're created to care for one another, be in community with one another. In the book Enough, Reverend Adam Hamilton mentions four keys to cultivating contentment. And he gets them from here in Philippians 4:11 through 13. The things he talks about is four words. It could be worse. To practice of looking on the bright side, finding the silver lining, recognizing that no matter what we may not like about a thing or a person or a circumstance, we can always find something good to focus on if we'll choose to do so. Another question, a question he asks is, how long will this make me happy? So often we buy something thinking it will make us happy, and I get the new iPhone 15, and a week later the iPhone 16 comes out. Happiness usually lasts about as long as it takes to open the box. Number three, Adam Hamilton talks about is develop a grateful heart. Gratitude is essential to be content. A grateful heart recognizes that all of life is a gift, and contentment comes when we focus more time on giving thanks than thinking about what's wrong or missing. And then number four, it says, where does your soul find true satisfaction? This is deep. The innermost being of us. Where does our heart and soul find satisfaction? Not in something we accumulate, but in our relationship with Christ. I enjoy sandwiches. There's actually going to be sandwiches in a few minutes as we decorate the sanctuary. But I like sandwiches. I hit up all the sandwich shops. One of my favorites is Jersey Mike's. A sandwich usually has two pieces of bread. That's our wake up and our going to bed. The question becomes in our sandwich, what are you filling it with? My favorite sandwich at Jersey Mike's is the veggie sandwich. It has cheese, which I really don't need, but I like the veggies, the lettuce, the tomato, the pickles, the black olives, the banana peppers, the jalapenos. I get it Mike's way without the onions. But are we adding goodness or are we adding the bare necessities of meat and cheese, which I don't really like? How are we making our sandwich each day? How are we preparing it? What are we filling it with? God wants us to be people who fill it with goodness and joy and hope and peace, not with the bare necessities of life, that we might give him thanks for all that we have, to be difference makers with our life each and every day, one day at a time, one sandwich at a time, making a lasting impact for years and years to come. He wants us to know that he loves us no matter what, and that there's always enough. There's always plenty. You have everything you need, that God may use you to make a difference around the world. Let us pray. God, we love you and we thank you for this time together. We thank you for the opportunity to read upon your word, to hear from the Apostle Paul today, and to think about our life and how we fill it, and we have the opportunity to fill it each and every day how we choose. May we be people who don't worry so much, but that we live life in all that you have gifted us with, the breath we breathe, the clothes we have, the house we have, the car we have, the relationships that you've placed in our life. God, may we be attentive to those things, even as we are generous with them. And may we look for ways in which you continue to lead us and stretch us in conversations with people who we may see eye to eye with, or maybe some that are more challenging. But we know that you're with us, that you love us, and that we have everything we need. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.